Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
We'll open your Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians. Hold on, I'm having a struggle up here. I'm falling apart. That's a good thing. By the way, may not seem good to you, but it's good for me. Chapter 5, starting with verse 1. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality may be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Amen. Father, bless this word, this moment and time, God. Bless the hearers, and Father, bless your speaker. Help me, God, I pray. And Father, I ask this, that God, your name is glorified, your Son is lifted up, and I ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. As I was praying throughout the week and asking God what he would have us to do, I got this one thought: we walk by faith and not by sight. Yeah. And I started asking God, what does that mean? And started looking to the scripture and started putting myself before God. Because when we say that we walk by faith and not by sight, it's not what the world would consider us to go out into the world without any direction. There's most people you speak to that don't have a relationship with God seem to think that we blindly follow the scripture and just take it verbatim that God said it and we believe it. But that's not true, though that is true. Amen? Yeah. It's very much what we endure day in and day out. Because the world wants us to think that God said, well, you'll never die. But they laugh and scorn and mock and make jokes about people that have faith in God. But we know that Jesus said that you shall never die. Those who put their trust in me shall never die. Now, this is a hard scripture here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but Paul was basically saying, if we take the word verbatim, that he wanted to go on to heaven.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
That he was ready to go. Now, most of you sitting here are not in that same shape. You can lie to me, and you can tell me you are. But yeah, as soon as that privilege or that opportunity comes along, you're thinking about your kids, or you're thinking about all the projects and all the things that are going on in your life, or you're thinking, well, I haven't seen so-and-so saved, or I haven't seen a great movement of God. Amen. The list goes on and on of the things that we start thinking about and start putting before this moment where Paul said that we should be groaning for this new tabernacle. That's hard, isn't it? So when we see trouble in our life and we see sickness in our life, just like some of you might have heard me say this Sunday, this woman was attacked and taken as a prisoner. And the guy that did it put a gun under her chin and said, "Do you not know I can kill you?" And she said, "You can't threaten me with heaven." And I thought, what a state. Amen. Why should we not have that same feeling? Why should we not have that same hope, that same faith?
Yeah.
Now let's look in the Old Testament for just a few minutes. Walking by faith and not by sight is a privilege. Now, first of all, just because I don't go about like a blind person. You understand that?
Amen.
Having faith is not blind. Amen. It just simply means that sight is one of the five external senses of the body. Are you following me? We don't walk by what we see. We don't walk by what we feel. We don't walk by what we smell. We don't walk by what we hear. Amen. All these things are there to distract us from what thus saith the Lord. We walk by faith. God said, "You shall never die." How can I fear death? It says in the book of Hebrews, all their life they feared dying. They feared the power of death. But Paul writes in the book of Corinthians that there is no victory in death. There's no sting to it. There's no power in it for the believer. Amen?
Yeah.
That if you truly have that faith, what can this world do to you? Now, we've been exposed lightly to adversity. Amen?
Yeah.
We are not living in Europe during World War II when America's dropping bombs and the whole neighborhood's blown to smithereens. We're not living over in Syria or Lebanon where their lives are in a constant uproar.
Yeah.
We live in a most peaceful state most days. Most of the things that bothering most Americans right now, I'm not talking about Christians, is that their life is not as it has been.
Yeah.
This ought to be opportunity for you and I. Amen?
Yeah.
To declare unto the world and to those around us that this ain't nothing compared to dying outside of the grace and the goodness of what God has done with His Son on the cross. It's nothing compared to those who will forsake Christ. Now that's where I want to go. I want to talk about tonight for just a few minutes about some in the Old Testament that forsook the world and just did what God asked them to do. And I don't know where you're going to find this in your heart. I don't know where you're going to find this in your walk. I don't know where you're going to find this in your trust with God or in your faith. But I'm asking you tonight to be changed tonight and to ask God what He wants you to do to change the world and the souls that are in your life. I'm asking you to ask God, what can I do? Now I understand that none of these did this on their own. And I'm not asking you to do it on your own. None of the old patriarchs did these things on their own. Amen.
Yeah.
There was an unction that came. There was a visitation that took place. There was a face-to-face with God that did something to them. But it also gave them the choice. There's many today that would say and argue by doctrine that there is no choice. But I'd like to argue with you over that sometime in private. I'd like to tell you tonight that many a person has told Jesus, "I don't want you."
Yeah.
And as a result of that, they ended up in a place that they could not get out of, where there was no door out, no escape, no remedy, and forever the flames of hell have consumed them.
Yeah.
And it goes on every day. And you might say, "Well, but if God be after you, what can you do?" I can tell you what you can do. You can say yes, but I'm going to tell you there's many I've heard.
Yeah.
I've heard it with my own ears have said no. But I do like what we read in our Sunday school class and said nobody curses God by the Spirit. And nobody rejects God by the Spirit. And nobody accepts Jesus by the Spirit, but by the Spirit. Amen? So hopefully they don't do what? What's the word he says in the New Testament? The only unforgivable sin is to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. That when that Holy Ghost comes and you say no, you have blasphemed against God, and it is an unforgivable sin. And if there was an unforgivable sin, then it wouldn't have been put in the Bible if there wasn't.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty plain and simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
How can you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit and be found guilty before God according to His own word and say that God got after you and you did not have a choice?
Yeah.
God is not a liar, and He is not the author of confusion. Amen?
Yeah.
So Abraham, when he was young and the Lord got on him, he was told to go to a place that he did not know. Amen?
Yep.
And what did he do? Did he blindly just decide to go do something, say, I'm going to do this for God? No. By faith, Abraham left the Chaldeans. I think that was the name of it. He left home. He left that place where he was reared, that place where his roots were, that place where everything that he knew was. And he did it by faith. He walked by faith. He exercised his faith. And I'm going to ask you tonight, are you exercising your faith? Or are we using our sight? Are we using our five dull senses? And I say they're dull because they're liars. Our senses, though they may protect us, right? I don't put my hand in a fire. Why? Because the sensory feeling kicks in and says, if you leave your hand there, it's going to get burnt. It hurts. Amen.
Yeah.
When I smell bad things, I don't draw near to them. I run the other way. When I see things that are disastrous, I don't. Well, I'd say in America, but what happens out on the freeway is about a joke. You have a car with a flat on the side of the road and everybody gets a rubber neck. And they got traffic stopped for no reason because they think they're going to miss something. See, that's the problem. We look in this world and we start putting more in this world and we think we're going to miss something when all along Jesus said, believe in me, trust in me, and I'll help you. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
You believe God wants to help you? He said, I've come and I've got on your side. I know everybody says, oh, well, I got on God's side. No, you got on God's side. But when you got on His side, He became your God. And He was on your side. And He is making intercession for you. He is trying to help you and trying to bless you. How do you know that? Because the blessings that He told Abraham, He said, I will bless you. I will make you a great nation. And then He went on to say this, and you will be a blessing. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
You can read it right in Genesis 12 and 2 and 3. He said, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be blessed and you're going to be a blessing. You're going to be a great nation. You're going to be a father of many nations. And he did this by faith. Now he heard from God. Amen. If your faith or your life is seeming like it's lacking, that's no time to be faithless. Amen. That's the time to catch the promises of God and understand that whatever you ask Him by faith, according to His will, shall be done. He didn't question. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say, well, I'll think about it. He said, when you get right and you call upon me, He said, it'll be done. You'll say to this mountain, be you removed. What'd He say? Where are you going to put it?
Yeah.
It's going to be gotten out of your way. Problem is, we're trying to use our sensories, our five senses, and then we're trying to put God in that category. And God's not in that category. That's your category. The physical part is yours. The spiritual part is God's. That God does the things of the Spirit that are impossible with you and I.
Yeah.
That's why if you sincerely seek the kingdom of God for the lost, I believe they will not be able to sleep. I believe their life will get undone. I believe their hearts will get broken. I believe they will get contrite with God. I believe they will get in a state of being that they have to choose. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what If we really, truly wanted a revival, what do you think that would look like? What do you think the revival would look like? I want everybody else to act like God, but I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to keep doing things the same old way. I'm going to keep putting the same effort forth. I'm going to still do the same things that I do. I'm still going to be and live a corrupted life. If God says it's sin, what does that mean? If he says, I wouldn't do that, it's not good for you, then what will be the results? I believe Abraham, it cost him dearly when he left Chaldea. I believe when he left that place, he had no clue. And you've heard this before, and I'll just say it again, Tish. He had to go to his wife and say, God told us to leave. And she looked at him and said, where are we going? He said, I'm not sure, but we're going. Now, is that something we could do today? No. But yet God asked us, as we have built our house here, and we come and we worship here. Now, I'm not saying God ain't going to call you away. Amen? That's possible. Yeah. It's not impossible. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, there's people all over the world. I mean, look at Victor. I understand he had a desire for that. But there's a lot of people that didn't have that desire. And God said, this is where I want you to go. These are the people I want you to minister to. These are the people I want you to go pray for. And it may be on the job. It may be somebody in your family. It may be some neighbor. Amen. And God says, I want you to spend your time investing in them for my name's sake. We don't know that. But if it's uncomfortable and we start feeling uncomfortable physically, what do? We shut the Holy Ghost down. We shut the Spirit down. We start thinking, well, what am I going to get out of this? How's this going to help me? How's this going to change me? Do I really want that person coming to my church? You ever said that? You ever thought about somebody not being around? You don't like being around them? They're not your kind of people? They're not what you think they ought to be? And all of a sudden, you've already come to a conclusion, I'm not going to pray real hard for that person. I'm not going to intercede for them like I would my kid or my grandson or my grandma or my mama or somebody that I truly love. But yet I'm going to tell you, you're wrong in that.
Yeah.
Because when you've decided that this person or that person isn't what you think they ought to be, you see, you're shutting down the flow. You're shutting down the will of God. Because God's going to try you, Justin. God's going to see if you're of the faith. God's going to see what your sustenance is inside of you. He's going to start testing to see if what love God has loved you with is truly a blessing to others. You call me out. You call me a liar and say, I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to tell you I do. I'm going to tell you that the moment you judge someone, the moment you decide that this group or that group or those people or these people are not adequate, you see, that's the reason why we can't get the house full. That's the reason why we can't have the law. Jesus died for the sick, for the undone, for the broken.
Yeah.
He didn't die for the ones that look like you, dress like you, smell like you, act like you. I understand that's hard preaching, but Abraham had to leave and go to a place with a bunch of people that he didn't know. And when he got down there, he got in trouble in Egypt. He almost messed the whole thing up. Amen?
Yeah.
But I'd rather mess a little bit up and give my all and be found faithful in God than not to do anything and to just keep doing everything the same old way. We'll tell you that I've got to change. You can look yourself in the mirror and say you're all right the way you are, but if we're truly, as a body of Christ and as a church, going to see a change and going to see revival and going to see when people come in God's house, that Holy Ghost conviction gets on them and they can't shake it loose. They can't even run away from it. Going out the back door, it'll be that we got right with God. Trying to encourage you, trying to tell you that if Abraham can believe God by one word, one meeting, Abraham, leave, get your stuff and go to a place, and everywhere your foot walks will be a generation and a nation that's blessed because of what he asked him to do. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like that every place you go that the presence of God is with you? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that every place that you go, every place your foot steps, that you're carrying around the temple, the Holy of Holies, the kingdom of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that what ought to be happening is everything around you ought to be aware of the fact that God resides in you, that you abide in God and he abides in you.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, it comes with a state of being and an attitude. And I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about privileged humiliation. I'm talking about a desire that gets down in your heart that says, I'll go anywhere, you go with me, God. I'm talking about something that starts churning inside of you and starts creating an atmosphere around you that others cannot get enough of, that you can share with them what God's done for you. That you used to be just cold and indifferent and lost and in the world, but God did something inside of you that has changed you forever. And that your testimony, it doesn't grow dull and indifferent and cold. It becomes something that everybody desires. They want some of it. Amen. It's like walking by a restaurant, driving down the road and smelling that restaurant. And it just draws you and you want it. You desire it. You're hungering after it. It becomes all you want. See, I believe that the lostness in somebody is looking. The lostness inside of the lost man is desiring, is looking, is craving love, is craving salvation, is craving God. But only God can turn the light on.
Yeah.
Amen. And how are we saved? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Yeah.
Maybe something as simple as Jesus loves you. I remember that. You see, long before that feller got out of Brushy Mountain and came here and preached, you remember who I'm talking about?
Robert Gibson.
You see, the one thing that changed Robert Gibson's life is the fact that that preacher walked by that cell every time and said, Jesus loves you. That's all he had to say. But he was consistent. He was persistent. He didn't give up. And I promise you, it was backed by prayer. Amen. It was backed by a life that glorified God. And no matter what Robert Gibson did to this man, he never changed his testimony.
Yeah.
He continued telling him about God's love.
Yeah.
And that man got to where he started wanting to know what it was that this man had that would allow him to take the abuse, allow him to be forsaken, allow him to take the tongue lashing, allow him to take the rejection over and over and over. And yet for years on years, this man walked by there. Jesus loves you. Regardless of what the man said, regardless of how the man acted, how Robert acted, Jesus loves you. You see, it can be easy for you. But you'll have to step back. You'll have to let God reign. You'll have to let him rule. Let's look at one more. Joseph. Joseph was a little bit different. I tried to work David into this, but I just couldn't get there. I looked. I prayed. I just couldn't get there because David was a whole different guy, man. His faith walk was way different than these guys. He was anointed king. And wasn't told anything. I mean, here came the prophet and anointed him king and then poof, out in the wilderness. He had to walk by faith, but yet he didn't have a mission. I don't know if he said, hey, you're going to be the next king, by the way, on his way out the door. I don't know, but all I know is the prophet got out of there because of Saul. There wasn't a whole lot of exchange that went by, but Joseph, on the other hand, Joseph walked by dreams. God came to him by dreams. And when he shared these dreams with his brethren, they hated him. They said, "Will you rule and reign over us?" And yet, I caught something. This is what they actually said. "Shall thou indeed reign over us?" See, that's a direct statement. "Shall thou indeed reign and rule over us?" They were making a statement of declaration that Joseph had heard from God and this was going to come to pass, and yet they didn't even believe it. They didn't even know it. But Joseph did. Here's the problem with Joseph. He couldn't figure out how. Amen? Most of the things that go on in our life, we can't figure out how God's going to do it. Amen? We're trying to put them in our box with our five senses, our sights, our smells, our feels, our hearing. Amen? Our taste. We're trying to make it measure up to the things that bring comfort to our body. But I'm not talking about comfort to your body. I'm talking about your soul and the souls of men around you. It's bigger than your body. Paul said in the book of Corinthians that he groaned. He was waiting for this new body. Why should we not want to stretch ourselves out of that which is comfortable?
Yeah.
You truly saved? You truly ready to go to heaven? You truly ready for what God has promised you? Then whatever is going on around you, God will make it come to pass if we'll get in the Holy Ghost, get in the Spirit, and let Him have His way with us.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, it's going to break up the body, the flesh. It's going to break up the things that we want, the things that we think are important. And I don't know what those are for you, but I know what they are for me. And I got to start cutting the snake's head off. Amen. Because this is, I'm getting down. I don't know. I've already outstripped my dad. My brother's dead. Okay, that's about all my living side of the family. I got my mom. My time's running out. You may live to be 100. I don't know about me. I should be living every day as if it's my last, Justin.
Yeah.
I should be thinking about heavenly things. Put your thoughts on things above. Putting hope and faith in God. Walking by true faith. That the presence of God is with us. That the Holy Spirit abides in me. I listened to a man today talk about a missionary that went to this place over in Africa. And the first thing that the little church group said was, "Don't tell us to abide in God." Every minister and every evangelist and every missionary that's been here keeps telling us to abide in God and can't give us an answer. And the answer's real simple. Do those things that please God and He'll abide in you and you'll abide in Him. Amen. Do those things that please the Lord. What are the things that please the Lord? Walking in love. It's the greatest power and influence and privilege that the church has to love them that can't and won't love you back. Let the testimony of your faith be that they loved somebody. You loved somebody. That those around you said that person knew how to love. Where does that leave you tonight? I mean, do we just love them that love us? Are we still playing the world? I've met a lot of Christians that said they were Christians. And they want to play this game. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. That's not being a Christian.
Yeah.
That's what the world does. Amen? That's trading. That's trading a work for a result. But God did not trade a work for a result with us, did He? We're saved by faith through grace. Not of works. Lest any man should boast, for it is the gift of God. That God came and filled us with His Holy Spirit and sealed us according even to this word that we read, that he gave us, the earnest of our inheritance, the Holy Spirit, that we have been sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption, and that there's nothing that can break that seal. There's nothing that can tear down that relationship. There's nothing that can do anything to dislodge us from God's hand.
Amen.
Amen. Let's get a song. I'm done. I want to encourage you. I really want to encourage you to seek the Lord how to walk by faith. What's your faith walk? We could say, well, I say that's my faith walk. No, that's not. That was the work that God did for you. Now, what's our faith walk? Abraham believed God and what? It was accounted unto him as righteousness. Amen. How have you believed God and it was accounted unto you as righteousness? What work have you done? What faith have you showed? What have you said? Okay, I'm going to believe God, Tish, and I'm going to trust him. Right? Instead of putting the limits on him. Well, God, if you fix this person and change that and make this situation work out the way I want it to, and you fill my pockets with lots of cash and money, and you make me healthy, and you make me happy, and you make everybody like me because I'm so likable and such a good person. I'm so fun to be around. And yet, none of them things matter.
Yeah.
None of them things matter. They're insignificant. What matters is that no matter what came your way, all they could do is feel God.
Amen.
And when you get to the place where you want them to feel God and not you, that's my desire. That's my desire, that they feel God. They can't help but feel God. You see, that could be our cloak, this new body for now, is that they have to deal and contend with God that's in you.